All right, so Brother Kuo, ask your question again for us so we can get it right.
Okay, my question is it sinful to be comfortable in the world?
All right. So, and I'm just going to echo what I just said. I think that's a great question. And even if he probably maybe knows a little bit of the answer, when brothers gather, it's always great to bring questions, even if you know the answer to it, because you might get a different answer. You might get another nuance to it. You might get some more scriptures you didn't think of. So bringing questions doesn't mean it has to be something you don't know the answer to. It could be something that you know the answer to, and you want to hear your other brothers describe it to see if you're right and see if they add anything to it. So that's a great question. What would you say, Brother Patrick, is it sinful to be comfortable in the world as a, obviously we're talking about a born-again believer?
What do you mean with comfortable? Do you mean like you're content and okay where you are, or do you mean like you feel at home in the midst of the world, or like what? Can you clarify what you mean with comfortable? Because I think there's kind of like, it's a little open-ended.
I would say like you feel like it's almost like if you live in a spot, let's say for like 5 years, 10 years, something like that, you get comfortable with your surroundings. You're kind of used to the routine. I suppose it's like that homey kind of feel that you were talking about. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just being content. It's kind of, I guess, is it sinful? I don't think it would be sinful for somebody to basically be in one place and be a little bit established there. I think the problem would start to arise when you get complacent in your comfort. Like, oh, I'm here, I'm established. And you basically just get complacent. And I guess that might be the comfortable you're referring to. Just like, I'm comfortable, I'm here, I'm settled, I'm secure, you know. That might fall under the category of, you know, I need a bigger storehouse for my grain, so I'm going to tear down my old barn and build a new one, and I've got lots to eat and drink for many years. And well, what did God say to that rich man? And I think it depends, I guess, on if you're just established but you're still zealous in the work of the ministry, or are you comfortable as in you're becoming complacent, in which case, yeah, you got to be zealous and repent. That's a good one to ponder. What do you guys think?
What do you think, Brother Kevin?
Thinking of scripture, comfortable as in a homey feeling where really depends on the exact surroundings you're talking about. Are you talking about like inside a literal dwelling, or are you talking about the routine you would take for a whole day, or which of those? Is it like being inside a domicile, or being inside a domicile and then frequenting the places you normally do?
Yeah, like being around the town.
I suppose it would be kind of like a mindset. Like, you could be comfortable in van life as well, or you could even be comfortable living in a tent, like biking around town as well. Just like comfortable with, I don't know, kind of like what Brother Patrick was saying, like the complacency, the homey feeling, that kind of, just the mindset of that. Just, I like where I'm at. I like doing what I'm doing, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. It is kind of like the homey feeling of just where you live, your town, what you're doing, you're going about, you're comfortable in your town, you like where you live, you know, it's everything's good. I'm liking this. He's asking, is that sinful to feel that way?
It depends how you're responding to your environment. That would be my answer. If you're happy with it because you know who you can give the gospel to and that you can minister well in that area, But if you're comfortable and homey in that area because you've already blown the trumpet, as it were, for all the people there, and you see you have less responsibility, that would be a bad thing.
Ah, yeah, good point. Yeah, good point. Good point, brother. What were you going to say, Patrick?
I guess here's another twist to throw on it. We were talking a while back about, well, the Holy Spirit is likened to wind and to the rivers of living water.
Yeah.
And we're always to be moving and pushing and striving. I guess in that sense, to be comfortable, if you consider comfort as in a sense of complacency and almost security in a location where you're just comfortable and settled there, I would say you're on the pretty much the verge of being lukewarm, where you're no longer pushing and striving and expanding your boundaries and pushing the envelope and seeking the kingdom and pushing outward and onward. If that's the kind of comfort and complacency you're talking about, I would say, yeah, there would probably be an issue. What do you think, Brother Two Popes?
I think that you guys probed for the questions to define it, so rightly discerning it, so that was the thing to do because, you know, obviously it's kind of a wide open question. I think the angle I would take is ready. Let's see if this helps. Are you comfortable in the spirit or in the flesh? That would depend if it's sinful or not. So how I would say that is, hey, Sister Amon and I are rolling into this town to go preach the gospel. We know this town. We've preached it a lot of times, and we're really, really comfortable when we preach the gospel here. We know the streets. The police actually know us. We're out in the streets preaching the gospel, and we're reaching people. And we just have like a really good feeling about being in this town and preaching the gospel as we're going to be here about a week, and we really like this. Versus, yeah, we rolled into this town. Sister Amon and I love this town. They got great parks that we like to sit in and beautiful lakes that we like to go and walk at. And this pizza place down the street makes the most incredible pizza. And the parking at Walmart is really safe. And so I feel really comfortable in my flesh here. I like it here. I might move here, just live here. So you see how the difference between focusing on the flesh and the comfort versus I'm comfortable in my spirit and what I'm doing, which is focused on the kingdom. And I would base that on Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That conversation means citizenship. So I think Brother Patrick is probably in the right direction. And so is Brother Kevin when he was asking for details. But whenever we get comfortable here on earth, I think we got to be careful. Are you laying down sleeping and you had a comfortable night's sleep? Nothing wrong with that. God ordained that we lay down to sleep. That's not a bad thing. But are we comfortable in our settings and our surrounding and ready? Why am I comfortable? That's another thing. So is it spirit? Is it flesh? And then why am I comfortable? Ready? Because I'm afraid. What brings comfort, guys? When we're settled, right? When we have no fear, when we're familiar, when we're not being stretched, as Patrick said, I'm comfortable here versus stretching ourselves and saying, I'm maybe going to go do some ministry where I haven't gone before. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not really comfortable here, but guess what? I'm at peace because I'm walking with the Spirit and walking in the Lord. Does that make sense, the difference between the two?
Yeah, I think it's a good point to throw in there, because then the whole comfort and complacency would become based on either the flesh or the spirit,
yeah,
which would put it in even a better light.
Can I?
Because again, if you look at it, virtually nothing that you do in the spirit, I mean, there might be some things, but the vast majority of things that you do to the spirit and in the spirit ain't really going to make your flesh that comfortable.
No.
Not unless you've really, really crucified and pushed your flesh down to like the chihuahua.
Yeah.
Then you can just overrule it and learn basically. Here's another one. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content.
Right.
You can be content, but you won't be comfortable.
Right. Yeah. My example would be, ready? I was comfortable on my homestead. I knew the ground. I owned the ground. I had tons of firewood. I had food. I had a well. I knew my boundaries. Man, Sister Anna and I were so comfortable there, and we just liked this place so much. But it wasn't in the spirit. And now when we go into van life, having sold everything we own and we're in van life, now this is for the Lord. It isn't comfortable in van life, but we're content in the spirit of what we're doing. And we're actually comfortable believing that God's called us to do this. So to me, the homestead was fleshly comfort. Now being in the van is spiritual comfort because I believe I'm doing God's will and serving a purpose out here preaching the gospel. So that's kind of the angle I would take. If somebody said to me, you know, my job makes me comfortable. Okay, find out why. Is it because you're safe and you never want to stretch yourself? And so I think it has to be the difference between spirit and the flesh. And quite honestly, Patrick was on the right path. Whenever we start feeling comfortable about something, we really better test it. To make sure it's of God and the Spirit. If it's of God and the Spirit, it's great to be comfortable. We brothers should have a comfort level with ourselves because we're of the Spirit, we're of God, we trust each other. But if you start hanging around with people of the world and you go, I feel really comfortable around them, see the difference? Now you better not be comfortable. Patrick better never feel comfortable with those construction workers he works with that are worldly carnal men. Because what'll happen, Patrick, if you get comfortable with them?
You start, well, bad company corrupts.
Yeah, yeah. So comfort has to do with whether you're in the spirit or whether you're in the flesh is the answer, I would say. So the answer to your question is yes or no, depending upon if you're in the spirit or if you're in the flesh. Always lean to the spirit and then God does the, ready? Perfect answer here, I think. Perfect answer from God's word. What does the spirit do? What's the three main things that the Holy Spirit does to us, does for us?
Comforts, convicts, and guides.
Teaches? Right?
Teaches.
What's the first one you said?
Comfort.
So you can be comfortable in the Holy Spirit. He gives you comfort. We get comfortable in the things of the world. That's not good because we're not supposed to be citizens of this world, and we know we're going to have to let them go. So I would recommend any saint, never get too comfortable in your physical, fleshly surroundings because, one, that might keep you from moving where God wants you to move. And then it can, yeah, Patrick's right, it can cause you to be lukewarm. And comfort in the flesh never teaches you to be like contending for the faith and go out and preaching. It teaches you to kind of maintain the comfort in the flesh. Kind of like that police officer was telling me today. You know, this is kind of confrontational. He was kind of trying to convince me, you know, people might like you more if you didn't do this. I'm like, hello, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, I get it. They would have liked Jesus if he would have shut up too. They would have liked Paul. They didn't beat Peter because he was not a nice guy. They beat him because he was preaching Jesus. So I think it all does come down to the spirit and the flesh. What do you guys think? Spirit versus the flesh when it comes to comfort.
Yes.
Makes sense. Another thought to throw in there is that if you're comfortable, you can also start to trust in your security.
Yep.
That you have in the flesh, and then you're no longer trusting in God, and that could start to become a form of idolatry.
Amen. Good point. Great point. That's what I was leaning towards, like with my homestead. I literally felt like I wasn't worshiping my homestead. I didn't love it more than God, but I felt like my homestead had become like an anchor, always pulling me back, always wondering if it's okay there when we're traveling and what's going to become of it. And I got to go back and work on it. And it became an anchor. And then in my flesh, I liked it so much. When I was there, I would say, wow, in my flesh, I want to stay here. We got to go because I know I got to be out there preaching. And my flesh was always pulling on me. And the whole cure to that is cut it off, rip it out, pluck it out, let it go. So, yeah, that's a good point, Patrick. Yeah, the comfort will lead you to idolatry.
Yeah. Man, that's a good question, Brother Akua.
That is a good question. Do you have more question, another question or other questions or?
Yeah, I have some other questions.
Questions are great. I really encourage, especially new believers, but everybody, bring questions because they can be really edifying. They make you think about something that you never thought about before, and it can really have the Holy Spirit move to give people, round them out and get other aspects from other people that they might not see. So, yeah, that was a great question.
Another one This is kind of, again, kind of a broad one. You may have to narrow it down, but assurance, can it be of the flesh? So can, like, assurance be something that's fleshly in a way, like assurance of something, or is that,
can that what's, be what's the assurance or? Of? You're talking about salvation?
Well, I guess, like, assurance.
Or confidence you're talking
about? I
guess about?
It might be more of, like, well, I guess this kind of answers it, but, like, double-minded. I really don't know why I put assurance, yeah, just.
You're not talking about salvation.
No, I'm not talking about salvation.
Are you talking about, like, confidence? Like, I feel confident about this?
Yeah, I guess it's more
confidence. Is it better word, confidence?
Yeah.
So what are you confident in would depend on what that answer would be, right?
yeah, I guess. Wouldn't it? I suppose I wrote down that question, and I kind of didn't think that through, but.
Well, we can talk it out. So, Brother Patrick, can you have confidence in things of the flesh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, give us some examples.
Well, if you want examples from Scripture, there's the whole issue of, well, the Judaizers and circumcision who are trying to gain confidence in the flesh instead of through faith.
Right.
That would be a biblical example. You could have confidence in the flesh. Oh, I'm a big, strong guy, but hey, look at David and Goliath.
Yep.
You could have confidence in your own abilities. And, well, God chose the foolish things of this world.
Yeah.
You could, confidence, yeah, definitely could be a problem in the flesh. Your confidence and your assurance should be the Lord and what he can do and not what you can do. Because if you're poor in spirit, then you remember, you know, I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Good answer. Brother Kevin, what say you about confidence in the flesh? What do you think?
The only confidence I have in my flesh is that it will die if the Lord doesn't return. If I put any confidence in it, my faith walk is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like your heart is deceit. Your heart, which would be your flesh, is deceitfully wicked and can deceive us. And unlike Disney, follow your heart. We don't follow our heart. We don't follow that part of our... There is a fallen nature of man. We don't believe in total depravity, but we do believe that man is fallen and the earth is cursed. So we got to be careful following those that would be following the things of the flesh for confidence. Now, there's some things in the flesh that we can have confidence in. Ready? Can we think of some examples? How about, well, I got a job and it's not spiritual and I'm confident I could show up every day and do this job. That's not sinful to feel that, right?
No, I guess I guess everything that you do in the flesh needs to be tempered with the spirit. So
right,
you can be confident that you can do your job if the Lord wills.
Yeah.
And you don't die tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all hinged on him. But I was thinking about some things in the flesh, like, you know, that we can kind of trust in, like, you know, I worked hard, I'm really tired. Hey, I think I'm going to get 7 or 8 hours of sleep, and I'm confident that that's going to restore my body because it's how God ordained it. So there's some things that are fleshly, that are of the flesh, that we can have confidence in. But then there's other things, if we put confidence in them, like, I think I'm the best street preacher in the whole world. I do. I think I am. Now that's confidence that is fleshly. There's no point in making it a competition. And so we have to be careful of that type of thing in the flesh. So there are some things you can have confidence in, but we're supposed to be focused on, as Romans 8 talks about, walking in the Spirit. And so everything, as Patrick said, should be tempered by the Spirit and the Word of God to make sure that we're not leaning too far to the flesh. And that's a big problem. Most everybody, including the church people, lean to their flesh all the time and very little spirit. Whereas true saints of God are supposed to lean to the spirit all the time. And then there's some things that we can lean to the flesh for. Like, I'm sure Peter and them probably consider themselves pretty good fishermen. So they probably said, yeah, we can go catch fish. So there was a confidence there in the flesh. But most of it was confidence in the Lord, eternal things, and the Word, and spiritual things. So I think that's something that kind of based upon what you're putting your confidence in. type of thing. Like Patrick could say, I have confidence my marriage is going to be successful. Well, marriage has a spiritual component to it because God ordained it, and how he lives and acts and how his wife lives and acts affects it. So he really needs to put his trust in the Lord to help him in his marriage. Otherwise, then he's saying, I can kind of do this on my own. But then it does get complicated, because what did Jesus say in John 15? You can do nothing
without me.
Yeah. So everything we do, I mean, we probably can't get up tomorrow. Well, not probably. We can't get up tomorrow morning without him. We need life. We need breath. We need to. So I guess everything does come back around to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, about basically cursed is he who puts his hope or his trust or his confidence in flesh.
Yeah.
And not in the Lord.
Amen.
So I think that would be, I think any assurance you have in the flesh should probably be replaced with an assurance of faith in God.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
definitely.
Because if we realize that honestly we're nothing, we're as vapor and as the grass that today is and tomorrow withers and is burned, we're like nothing. Like our flesh is no good. So all of our assurance, like, let's do something. Is there anything that we can think of in the flesh that we can actually have assurance of that will not need to be tempered with faith in Christ or God?
No, I don't think there is. I think only, like I was talking about, like practical things, like you work hard and train yourself up to keep your job, and so you can have a somewhat sense of assurance that you know how to do your job, but you're still trusting in the Lord to give you the strength and the energy to do it. So it's everything is leaning on him, but within that, there are some things like I'm pretty assured I know how to drive my van, but I still ask the Lord every day. We drive for safety to get where we're going and to protect us, or his will be done. So it's kind of a combination, but always leaning more towards the Lord and the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not fully trusting in the flesh for the things that we should trust the Lord for. Because some things he just expects us to do. Is that not true?
Yeah, he basically... He tells us to do and how to live and all of
right.
that stuff.
Like the verse says, work with your own hands, mind your own business. So a man should have confidence that he can work with his own hands. That's part of a Bible command. Right? But we do it in the fear and the admonition and trust in the Lord. Everything in the believer's life is under the Lordship of Christ. There's not one thing that isn't under the Lordship of Christ, I think is what you're trying to say, right, Patrick?
Yeah. What about this verse, James 4? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
Amen.
For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. When I look up,
amen. Everything. We should be looking for the will of God in everything, and the energy, the strength, the ability to do it all. Yeah, it's all based out of Him. Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of an open ended question about assurance. I think my conclusion from what I would come to here, test me here, would be that assurance should be in God. And then through his spirit in us, we can have assurance that he will help us overcome. Like
yeah.
we can do all through Christ who strengthened us. And only in that sense could you have any assurance in the flesh.
Yeah, I think assurance is in the Lord. And then there's things that he calls us to do, like work or take care of our family or look after our brothers, that in him and through the Holy Spirit we can be confident in.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, because if you look up that word confident, there's a whole bunch of scripture verses that tells us that we can be confident. And I think that's what he said. Brother Kua said maybe the word better was confident than insurance, because assurance kind of takes you down the trail of salvation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he that which begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Christ. So we're confident in something, but it's of the Lord and it's all about the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that sort of answer your question, Brother Akua?
Yeah, I think I put that down a while ago, and I think I did more mean, like, confidence in either what you're doing or what you're thinking, like, and it does make sense that all the confidence has to be in the Lord.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. In that case, he's confident in his own ways. He's a fool. He's doing his own thing. He's not following the ways of God, so he's confident. You know, look at the mockers that come up and approach us. They're pretty confident. They get right in your face. They're confident, but they're foolish in their wickedness and their unrighteousness and how they do it. So there's a lot of ways to be confident in unrighteous ways, right? Confident. I used to be a confident, bold sinner. Yeah. And that's not the right path to take. Trust me. You don't want to go there.
Yeah.
No way.
So anything else?
Good stuff.
What's that?
I said it's a lot of good stuff today.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else? We've gone on pretty long here. Anything else? Anything else from you, Brother Kevin? I know you worked a 12-hour shift today, so we appreciate you hanging with us. You worked a long time today.
Oh, no problem. Only one verse that really came to mind, Psalm 147:10. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the like power of man. The Lord is pleased with those who fear him, who hope in his loving devotion.
Yeah. Yeah, everything. That's an awesome verse. Everything's under the umbrella of Christ, everything. And then in those things, we can do things if God gives us the will and the strength, or if it's his will and he gives us the strength, then we carry him out. But yeah, it's all under the umbrella of Christ. And anything that is outside the umbrella of Christ, it can become a danger. Just like we talked about yesterday in sanctification. Everything has to be filtered through Christ, the Word, and the Spirit. Anything you take and don't filter through the Word, the Spirit, and Christ and his ways, that can be a danger, that can be leaven to you. So same thing here. Everything has to be under the umbrella, and then it'll find safety. You can find safety in it, or you can filter it out. But if it's not under the umbrella, it can become a danger to you. And that's, again, where most people, not everything's under their umbrella of Christ. Only certain little parts of it is, like Sunday church service. That's under Christ. That's it. And they don't even do that biblically. And the rest of their life is under the world. And one guy said to me today, you don't ever have fun. Grown man like me, old man like me. He said, you never have fun? He said, what do you do for fun? And I said, we preach the gospel, and I wouldn't call it fun. It's our duty, and we love to do it. We love our neighbor. We want to love God. I said, it's not fun. Fun's not really in our vocabulary. We do it because we're called to do it, and we're serving Christ. And it's just how the American church system is just ordered. You know, go to church, do your service for an hour and a half. Now go out, have fun. That's how they're ordered. That's how they think of things. And that tells you that you're talking to a person that's probably not born of the Spirit of God. And so everything is under Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All for him, amen. About him, for his glory, because we can do nothing without him. So, all right, brothers, if we don't have anything else, I think we're going to end it there. We got a long list of topics to work on. We'll be working through those. We'll be doing more verse by verse and keep bringing questions. Write them down. Remember what we said right now. If you got a question, you go, I'm going to think about that question and then present it in one of the brothers' meetings. If you don't write it down, I promise you, you will forget it. You're too busy. You're too active. Things going on. You work. You go to sleep. You get up. Your mind's gone. You know, it's cleansed from the night before. And so write it down. Write down these things, and then write down your anything that you want to talk about. And that's why we have Kevin kind of running a list for us of things to study. Because if we didn't write all those things down, we are not going to remember them. We're not. So be a student. Maybe that's what I want to leave with this. Let's talk about this real quick. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Just high elevation view. What's a disciple of Christ?
Someone who is disciplined, someone who is in his word, someone who is in his way, someone who is becoming like him.
Yeah, Very good. Brother Kuo, what would you say?
Exactly that. Learning of Christ, learning from his examples, doing what he says. You're a disciple, and discipline is a big thing. Yeah.
How about you, Brother Patrick?
That's a really broad question. All of the things that have been stated already, I guess following him and doing and following his example would be another one to add in there.
Yeah.
Studying to be like him and his word all the time. There's to become like him and imitate him in all things. So, I mean, this could be an exhaustive list.
Yep. And we could have a whole study on that. And where I was aiming at, everything you guys said is true. Ready? I was thinking of being a student of Christ. So whatever you need to do to be a student of Christ, which means studying the word, writing the word down, making notes, writing articles, making audios, whatever you need to be a student of Christ, to learn of Christ. Remember what Paul said in Philippians? He said, the knowledge of knowing him, everything else is dung compared to it. So that's what we're on a quest for. We're on a quest for the knowledge of Christ. And we have the Spirit in us to help us. We have the written word. We have brothers to help us. But that's what this is about. This is about the pursuit of the knowledge of Christ and to know Christ. And one day we're going to be with him if we endure to the end. But we're preparing ourselves to know him, know about him. There's so much to learn, and there's so much, so many ways to apply his teachings to the world and all these different situations. And the more versed we are in knowing him and having the mind of Christ and walking in the Spirit, we're better able to handle all these situations that come up. So I just wanted to throw that up. Remember that we're all students of Jesus Christ. And so whatever you have to do in your life, discipline, set time aside, writing them down, recording them, like I said, whatever you got to do to be a student, don't take that lightly. There's nothing in your life ever you're going to study that's more important than Christ, eternal life, the gospel, following after him. So let's never take that lightly. And ready? I'm just going to tell you, brothers, you're never going to graduate, and neither am I. We're never done until we're done and out of this world. So never look to graduation. Always look to ever, ever learning more about our Lord, his word, and his ways. That makes sense?
Yeah, but let's not be like those who are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Exactly. Yeah, our learning is always applied. It's always used. It's always practiced. Exactly. Yeah, so you can learn and never use it, or you can always be learning and be using it. And the more, have you guys found that the more that you use the word of God, meaning speak it, read it, understand it, share it with people, the more confidence you begin to get in it. It's like it dwells with you, right? The word dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. So let's continue to be students on this journey. Amen.
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 Amen. And we're here to help each other. All right, brothers. Good call. We will talk again very soon. We talk every day. We edify every day. You mean you talk, like the guy said to Brother Patrick, you mean you talk to your brothers every day?
Yeah. And that was kind of almost like I saw it in his eyes. That was kind of almost like a snapping point for him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gonna come. Maybe one day he will, but I don't see it right now. And it's like, yeah. Because he was kind of like, oh. I don't know if I was listening to anything I was telling him about daily, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to be accountable and then be there for others and then be focusing on these things. Well, Brother Koo and I was just talking. He was cooking our food over the fire. And what question did I ask you? Why don't you share that? Do you remember? I asked you a bunch of questions. I said, where would you be? What would you be doing?
Oh, yeah. Where would I be if I didn't drop my nets?
If he didn't drop his net and follow the Lord, I said, where would you be right now? What did you say?
I said I would be back home with my parents in a bunch of sins that dropping my nets actually got me out of. And I'd be looking for a job as a career as a graphic designer because I have to put my bachelor's degree to work and I have to start paying off my debt. So that's,
yeah. Your life would be totally different.
Totally different.
Instead, he's out sharing the gospel. He's out in the world every day. He's separated himself from all those things that were stumbling him. And we've all had to do that. We've all done it. So that's a glorious thing. So, look back at your life sometime. I know Jesus said don't look back, but there are times to look back in thankfulness and say, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be right now? His gospel, his word, his spirit. And you want to talk about getting thankful and grateful? Sister Amon and I talk about that every once in a while. We go, where would we be? Oh, my. And it's like, we don't want to go back there. Let's keep pushing forward. And we rejoice in the Lord so much for what he's done in our lives. So don't ever get complacent about the word and the truth of God and what he's done to us. It's a glorious thing. And we want to live to glorify him and share it with others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's actually a quick verse I'd like to share. It's not King James translation. It's another one. Isaiah 51:1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug.
I like that one.
I wonder if that has any bearing.
Yeah, when I hear that, I think of Job. And when God said to Job, where were you when I created the foundations of the world? It's like, okay, yeah, let's get this right. God is God. He's the Alpha, the Omega. We're just vapor. And he graciously allows us to have the eligibility for eternal life if we'll just seek after Christ and what he's done for us. So that's awesome, brothers. All right, till next time. I hope you guys go out and have a glorious evening, what's left of it, and we'll be in touch soon, right? We love you.
All right, let me see your faces quick before we hang up.
What's that?
I want to see all your faces to say goodnight.
Oh, yeah, okay.